Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone, to Christmas week. This is Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
the show, Chuck and Julie Show. We should call it the Julie and Chuck Show every other day.
No, that just doesn't have the rhyme or the beauty or the majesticness of the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and the wonderful Dr. Jack Schaefer. Also, Mountain Trees, happytrees.co, and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. There was so much to talk about today. I keep thinking we need more time, more shows.
More time, more shows.
We'll get into this later on. Ted Trempa, Sword of Sorrows, joining us. Actually, kind of an interesting take. He got into a Twitter feud with former 710 colleague of ours, Craig Silverman. And you'll be sad to know that it's Ted and Arash and Greg Gutfeld's fault. Any crime in America now is pretty much their fault. It's Kirstie Burton Brown, no surprise here, not running for Colorado chair again.
Wow, and she did such a good job, yeah, such success. What will we do with that kind of leadership gone after a mere 2 years of hell?
But to start off the show, one of my favorite, not only talk show hosts, but favorite person, Karen Cataline.
Human being,
host of Spotting Off. Hey, Karen, thank you for your time on this happy Monday before Christmas. Happy holidays Monday.
Well, Merry Christmas to both of you. Happy holidays. Merry Hanukkah. All of that stuff.
Okay, we'll read the comments here and later. People are already chiming in. It's like we have to have a whole separate show for a comment section. You know, Karen, there's so much to talk about, and I just love having you on because, you know, we agree on so many things. We kind of disagree on certain things, not many, but I think I just always love to hear your opinion. So let me get your take on sort of some of the big news, although, again, not shocking, I think, coming out today. Liz Cheney and her cohorts on the January 6th committee have basically referred or asked the Department of Justice to file criminal charges against Donald Trump and John Eastman over.
Poor John Eastman. You know, I represented a couple of things. You know, he was this wonderful constitutional scholar, and then he got in the crosshairs of the hideous left, who really are the world's worst human beings.
Yeah. So my big question is, I don't think it's surprising to anyone that they did this. You could talk about that if you want, but do you think anyone besides Liz Cheney cares very much?
Well, I have long since trying to ascertain what the anyone's are, because we're living in the most extraordinary times of my lifetime, certainly. When I read that they're recommending indictment, I went, shocked. I'm shocked. I'm so shocked. And here's the thing. It gives me no pleasure to constantly have to reiterate the same doggone thing. I get bored of myself saying that this is a bunch that never fails to disappoint their predictable pattern. You know, the pattern is, they decide what they want to do, and then they create a narrative and a need to justify what they plan to do anyway. Right. Everything is reversed. Maybe I've seen it earlier than some people, not you guys, because I'm left-handed and I look at everything as if it's in a mirror anyway.
Uh-huh.
But it is astonishing to see how they can. Remember when Nancy Pelosi, God love her, talked about the wraparound smear.
Yeah.
And it's this on steroids again and again and again and again. They know, and you pointed it out early, they know that they want to do anything and everything they can to quote, disqualify Trump from running.
Right.
No matter how unjust, unconstitutional, unfair, and ridiculous that is, they want to whip the public into a frenzy. It hasn't worked very well in order that the public will be clamoring to demand what it is the radical left, which now controls the Democrat Party, wanted to do anyway.
Right.
So I'm not the least bit surprised, and nothing surprises me anymore.
No, and I think you're right. I mean, the guy from Mark Elias from Lawfare early, which is a Democrat operative arm, early on said, well,
the Brookings Institute.
Yeah.
Well, but he was with Lawfare at the time.
No. Lawfare is a subsidiary of the Brookings Institute. I mean, you're kind of like, well, why didn't I know that before? You know, it's kind of amazing.
Well, and he had said early on that, well, how can someone run for president if they're under indictment?
Yeah, right.
But you know what else?
How can someone run for president who used his son as a go-between for communist China? I don't know.
I don't know. It was, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, Elizabeth.
Can't remember who's the president. Can't remember what state he's in, what town he's in, where he's at, whether he talked to his father and grandfather 20 years after they were dead. I mean, the guy is a total mess and was a mess from day one.
Well, and I don't think
just as an aside, what kind of contempt do the whomevers who are really running this country have for this country to try to pass off such a man as president of the United States?
Exactly. Well, and here's another part, I think, of what they're doing with Donald Trump. As long as they keep him up there, because I think there's always a twofold thing going on. And it is like Donald Trump said, it's not really him they're after, it's us, right? Ash in America, who we've had on our show, she writes a column for the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. And I recommend people check out her site. She's got a story up today about a 74-year-old grandmother from Denver who had to turn herself into the FBI like this week, right? Because they want to indict, they indict her, they want to arrest her for going to this, for January 6th, for being at the Capitol and praying. Didn't do anything wrong, didn't trespass, they let her in, okay? And the FBI, and I think what's going on here a little bit more too is they're indicting Donald Trump. They want to continue to pressure the rest of us. I mean, we've seen with the Twitter files, right? Just what lengths they're willing to go to suppress speech from conservatives. And I think
you have to remember,
part of it too. I mean, you want to keep crushing the people.
They had Twitter files number 7. This was about the Hunter Biden laptop and the efforts to keep it from the mainstream media. What is so amazing to remember is that this is when Donald Trump was president.
Yeah.
He was in charge of the chief executive. He was in charge, quote unquote, charge of everything. And the FBI was telling Twitter, you gotta suppress this. I mean, he went on 60 Minutes and Leslie Stahl, but it's not verifiable. And yet the FBI is just working
its own thing.
Its own thing. If anybody doesn't think the FBI is a criminal organization,
they're not paying attention.
Terrifying. And think that a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, not your listeners, miss the fact that all of these things, what the Twitter files revealed was that our government and government agencies are using private companies, corporations, and the medical establishment as their proxy to take our rights and freedoms and our guaranteed under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So they're circumventing our rights, doing it in plain view. We all knew it. Now there's evidence of it. And it's not just that. And remember that the left kept saying, oh, but it's a private company.
Right.
This
right.
is the left that hates corporations, hates businesses.
Not anymore.
Woke-a-cola, then they love them.
Right.
Everything, all truth has been turned on its head.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And just a couple of comments. Barney says, don't forget that Biden poops his pants and showers with his daughter. So there.
Hi, Barney. Now, tell us what you really think, Barney.
And Steve says, is the FBI a domestic terrorism organization asking for a friend? All right, now they're going to come arrest you, Stephen. Well, you know, it is astonishing. I wanted to kind of swing this around because, you know, we only have a half hour with you. There's so much to talk about. Something when we were, you know, exchanging emails about what to talk about. And you said you had a great guest on your show, Spouting Off, recently, talking about the weaponization of loneliness.
And tell everybody where your show's at.
Yeah.
They
can find you, which I think most people know.
My show is broadcast out of Nashua, New Hampshire, WSMN in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's called Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And then that show gets sort of, shall we say, disseminated in lots of places, but live it's 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain. And those shows are taped live at 1 p.m. or 11 a.m. Mountain. And I love calls. I mean, a lot of people are a little shy, and then I'll get an email saying what they really think. But yeah. You know, I'm old school, and I really love interactive call-in talk radio, and that's what you guys do as well.
Yeah, that's what you do too.
And then I fill in for a lot of other people. I had this woman, and of course, I don't have her name.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
It's a woman.
It's on my website, and this computer is turned up. She wrote a book. Oh, God, definitely have her on.
Whoever she is.
Whoever she is. Somewhere. Hold on.
Live TV. Well, I was prepared.
Yes.
I'll babble here for a second. But I think what's interesting about this is and it ties into the Twitter thing. One of the reasons I think they were so determined to silence even like low level accounts, right? And I mean, in terms of people who didn't have very many followers, one of the things the left, the FBI, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, the global elites, World Economic Forum, one of the things they wanted to do is make anyone who disagrees or has questions about their narrative is feel isolated and alone and feel like you're the only voice, right? So that's why they had to ban people from Twitter. If one person is raising the question on Twitter and saying, well, but I don't know, I think that Hunter Biden laptop story looks like it might be true, right? Then all of a sudden, other people may say, you know, I think so too. And part of it, I think it is this idea of isolating by silencing all dissenting views and all questions. You end up thinking, well, maybe I'm the only one who feels this way.
Well, look at what they did with COVID, okay?
Right.
Everything, COVID was able, her name is Stella Morabito, actually. And okay. I'll tell you about her in a minute. Everything they did in COVID advanced their ultimate plan, which is and remains Marxist control over America and the world. It sounds like a bad sci-fi movie, but now people realize that we're living in a bad sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. They instituted things that we all knew were preposterous and ridiculous. You could, liquor stores and abortions were essential, but going to a church or a 12-step meeting was not and needed to be closed down. And that's when they started instituting disrespect for human life while claiming that it was for your own good and they want to protect you. All of that and more, plus the social distancing and the masks were a psyop to make you scared of this invisible virus that turned out to be 99.86% non-lethal, and to be suspicious and scared of other people, including your own family.
Right, right.
It's so serious that one of the great atrocities, and there were many, and I cannot stop talking about it because it breaks my heart, is for friends and loved ones and family members to die alone,
right,
in hospitals to advance a fraudulent narrative, which we all know has only gotten worse.
Well, let me ask you, it's a little off track, but you know, you're good at kind of breaking down conspiracy theories when they're not conspiracy theories and whatever else there are. My whole life, I've always thought that the claim, the Trilateral Commission, the Atlantic Council, the Bilderbergs, all of them were just a joke, right? David Rockefeller controlling everything through this and that and all the way through, you know, I said, stupid crap. And now I've kind of gone back into Klaus Schwab and what the World Economic Forum is.
It's like all true.
Klaus Schwab is nothing. He's just a parachechnik.
He's a puppet.
He's a puppet. So who is the puppet master? And you have to go, the large banks in Europe. I mean, it's the same old people.
Apparently, one of my producers has a video out from the Epic Times at ramtv.live. They got the rights to put this video out. They talk about, now this is one opinion, the 100-year war to destroy America. And it's from the CCP. When I asked one of my guests, they said, no, that Klaus Schwab and even that Yuval Harari, who is a despicable human being, these are puppets of the CCP. But you gave me, even though the weaponization of loneliness is a really important topic, Chuck, you gave me an opening to talk about something I've kind of wanted to talk about. What I've seen with my friends, conservative friends, never has. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to agree with me. God knows. I love dissent. I love debate. I love disagreeing because that's the heart and soul of liberty. But some of my conservative friends, you got to have discernment, because when you don't know something and you're still wanting it for it to unfold, it's very easy to fall prey to what I consider really to be insane conspiracy theories. If the facts come out to the contrary, then I'll change my mind. But I don't see any evidence of the really crazy things I'm hearing, because number one, the truth is so insane. Awful. And the things you're talking about world domination and control, we're actually seeing that. We have people in our government that has sold out this country to foreign powers, and we have the evidence to prove it.
They took the money.
But guess what? There are people in this country, and God love them, I disagree, who believe JFK Jr. is still alive. Okay?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, after we now find out from Tucker Carlson, the CIA was in killing Kennedy. So maybe he is still alive. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not saying that I'll reject it out of hand. I'm saying
these days.
You're right. But what I am saying is it's very difficult right now, because nature abhors a vacuum. And I'm going to be a little bit personal right now, because I have seen again and again and again that I've always heard that when you scratch the surface of a few of these conspiracy theories, what you get is a lot of Jew hatred. It's the Rothschilds Bank. It's the Jewish bankers. It's Jews, Jews, Jews. Even though the Rockefellers aren't Jewish.
How do you know that?
And nobody has a monopoly on evil, unfortunately.
Oh, I agree with that.
And yet there are people who've believed this stuff for years, and then it perpetuates. And frankly, that helps the bad guys too. Number one, when we're at each other's throats. And number two, when we accept conspiracy theories with no visible evidence. I will draw a contrast. I had what I call the curse of awareness going back to 2019. But I kept seeing evidence after evidence after evidence of the propaganda media perpetuating lies where the truth was obvious, things right. like that. So you got to stay connected to, rooted in some kind of reality, and be willing not to know, because we don't know everything. That's just something that's been on my mind lately. I'm done.
Well, you know, but
somebody asked, what did you think about the New York Times crossword swastika for the Hanukkah edition?
I can't imagine. This is my take on that. I think that was somebody stupid at the New York Times who didn't realize that if you fill it in, it could look like that. I mean,
they're not that dumb at the New York Times.
Radical left that accuses us of dog whistles,
right?
Secret messages are projecting, because that's what they do. Yes. So I wouldn't put it past them, not at all.
Then it'll turn around and it'll be our fault, right? It'll be the New York Times.
Kathleen's fault.
It fuels this whole hatred, no matter what the deal is. And we're going to talk a little bit about this in the next half hour. But, you know, it doesn't matter that the person who shot everybody at the Colorado Springs nightclub is non-binary. Somehow or another, it's Trump's fault, right? I mean, it's just...
Well, it's everybody's fault. I had somebody call.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. They called him and said, do you know, Charles Bono, you are guilty of causing the Q-Night shooting.
What the radicals and the propaganda media are perpetuating. It isn't bad enough that they're perpetuating lies, but what they're doing is inviting the ignorant, gullible public to take leave of any intellectual honesty, logic, or fairness. What they're saying is, it's now open season on everybody we hate. And all you have to do, call them racist, say they're bad, and we can send somebody in to persecute them, prosecute them, and oppress them, because we're going to get your approval. This is not the first time stuff like that's been done in history.
No, exactly. And I think, though, one thing, you know, people always say, well, what can we do? Or, you know, I think what it is important, and I had this discussion with a friend of mine just the other day, who's a very non-political person. I told her, you got to start paying attention. There is stuff going on, and you need to, we are not right now in a time in our country where we can just kind of bury our heads in the sand and say, I'm going to live my own life. And we were talking. So what happened, Karen, you guys in Texas know this firsthand, but Denver has had, I think roughly 1,000 illegal immigrants dropped off here, like in the past few days, right? And so my friend was going, she was taking her two daughters. They were going to go swimming. She was going to work out at the Central Park, which is formerly Stapleton Rec Center. And she gets there and like, well, it's closed indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
And she's like, why? And they're like, well,
new home.
All these Venezuelans are there now.
It's like, a Venezuelan center.
Her daughter goes, are the Venezuelans using all of the swimming lanes? Yeah, it's kind of like,
yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
They're great swimmers.
And she's like, what is going on, Julie? And I'm like, hello. I said, you've got to be paying attention. You think this isn't going to affect you? Then it gets even weirder. She tried to go to Costco to get eggs for her daughter's birthday breakfast, right? Costco was out of eggs. She went to Safeway. Safeway was out of eggs. She's like, what's with the, how are you out of eggs? Never mind how expensive they are these days. All the charities had bought them to make breakfast for the Venezuelans and the churches. So she's like,
make breakfast for illegal aliens?
Yes.
All the illegal aliens that they were keeping at the rec center.
They're all getting paid off by our tax dollars to do it. So right. We're getting it up the wazoo both ways.
And that's what I was telling her. I said, so you can't use a rec center until God knows when, which she was mad because she just bought a $100 membership, right?
Oh, that's racist. She's a racist.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Jacob.
I heard this Friday, the mayor had opened up a special office for people that need to get their permits right away because the interest rates went up and they got to start building.
Oh.
And so they have it's like an office of emergency permitting. And what happened was, but so the guy that's in charge of all that and the workers haven't been there for 2 weeks because they've been volunteering or actually working overtime to help settle these immigrants.
Excellent.
And so all the businesses that have to pay extra now because they can't get their permits, they're stuck in the mud. So
well, no, and thank you for that. And we're going to do a whole more show. But I mean, and that's my point. It's like we have to pay attention. I think that is.
But it's not easy to pay attention. No. For example, it came out the FBI paid $3.4 million to Twitter for the executive time in suppressing the story. Do you see that on Fox anywhere? No, no, that's not a story. Idaho murders are the only thing that matter. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, our it's not just the left-wing media. It's purportedly the right-wing media.
It is. So people are getting darker out there. And I guess I'm going to ask a ridiculously rhetorical question. Do you remember voting for any of this?
Yeah, I did.
Were you asked whether you wanted to be
voted for oppression?
Were you asked
to go up? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I was not in school that day.
Karen, but this is just the price we have to pay
for our democracy.
Yes.
Well, that means for the last few minutes, because we wanted to be positive, because it's kind of a fun holiday time. Idea that Karen has. So, you guys, you really got to check out.
What's your favorite torture device from the medieval ages, 1500 to 1772?
For this time of year, you had raised, you said you like to talk about, and it is a good topic. What kinds of things do you do or do you, you know, give you comfort, help you get through the day, give you hope particularly this time of year?
I like to ask lots of people. I'm on this little personal quest to ask people who do have the curse of awareness, who do understand what's going on, and hopefully that number is growing. What gives you strength and comfort in times like these? Maybe because since I was a little kid, I have realized, you know, I was born not that long after the Holocaust. And I remember thinking what people who knew what was going on or did they know, what could they have felt? Now, again, I'm not saying, actually, you can draw your own conclusions. we are facing the kind of tyranny, the kind of historic, biblical proportions of something quite sinister going on. And everybody has their own opinions. The question is, no, we're not going to give up. No, we're not going to just, you know, roll over. On the other hand, like the Serenity Prayer, there's only so much any of us can do about it because they didn't ask our permission. No. They appointed themselves like Napoleon, emperor over us all. They're going to decide our fate. They're going to decide whether we live in, or die. And they're going to put down people of faith who believe yes. that they're accountable to something higher than them. That's right. why they are so threatened by people of faith.
I agree.
So there's nothing new under the sun. We've seen it before, but I never thought I'd live to see it. To that end, I like to ask others, one is the Serenity Prayer. I mean, I used to think it was so silly and platitudinous, and it's not. It's not. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You know the difference.
And then what do you do with the helplessness that you feel when there are things that are happening that you can't change? And it's like watching a little kid run out in the middle of the street and you can't stop them.
Well, that's where I would say it's the same thing, though. Grace. I mean, I believe in grace, God's grace. I think there was a book I read. It's a great book. It's like, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat, right? So we're out of the boat now, and you only walk on water with God's grace. So the things you cannot change, I think you have to, I do anyway, have faith. I mean, to me, that's what grace is. Grace is God giving you something that you didn't earn, that you don't deserve, that is way beyond your ability or power to do yourself. But it's there and it's real. I mean, I experience it all the time. And so that's what I would say. You have, you know, the courage, which is what grace comes in handy there too, right? Where do you get the courage? Well, that's also grace. That's what I think.
I apologize for grabbing the focus.
That's okay. That's okay. You're focused.
I have this on my bulletin board in my studio.
Uh-huh.
And do we have enough time for...
Sure, we've got a few minutes.
That because I wanted to share this with you. I will. I am doing more study of not only Judaism, but the more spiritual things of life. And among, this is a very popular and famous verse in Torah, Joshua 1 verse 9. It makes me cry. Oh. Did I not command you, be strong and have courage? Do not fear and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I think, you know, you got to remember, all of us, we're not alone. I mean, we have each other here, right? And, you know, you're not a solitary voice out there. We have a community. And I think, but bigger and broader than that, you're right. God is with us wherever we go. And that's what the left wants us to forget. They want you to feel stupid. They want you to feel ashamed for talking like that. They want you to feel like you're an idiot for talking like that, because that is the ultimate threat to them, I think.
Well, it really comes down to, inherently in human beings, is a belief in something greater than themselves. Nobody has to teach you that. Nobody has to instruct you that. That comes inherently. That camp comes from somewhere. And that feeling is that there is a God, and that he is a good God and a merciful God, despite all the evil in the world. And he has a plan for you. And it's a merciful, wonderful plan.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you can study all the physics you want. You can study everything else. But as long as you hold on to that core, I think you can live a happy life. And if you can't, you're not going to live a happy life. So, you know, and you know, there's always in religions, there isn't in Judaism, but there is Christianity, always say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell, you know, and all those which you try to force you to you know, believe, because you'll be too afraid to not. But all you have to remember is that you're not going to live a happy life without a belief in God. And if you don't want to believe it, that's your choice. But it's something you can take wherever you go with you until you die. And as long as you keep that in your heart, you're going to be okay.
Not only is it perfect for this time of year, tonight is the second night of Hanukkah, which, by the way, is not just about lights and greasy pancakes, greasy potato pancakes. It's about a battle in which the religiously persecuted fought back and defied tyranny and won. So that's an important story to read. And it has not been lost on me that ultimately this is a spiritual war. And you don't all have to agree in the spirituality, because America is a religiously pluralist country. But it's between those who want to be accountable to a God greater than themselves, want to do good, even if they fall short, and those who want to be God in their universe and in yours.
Exactly.
That's the spiritual war. So they have great hostility for anyone who decided that there is something greater than them and they're not it.
All right. Karen, with that, we
have love to you. Love you.
Thank you so much. Everybody, appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
All right,
take care.
All right.
Bye.
There, and this is from Barney. She says, Chuck, damn, that was awesome. Heartfelt. So we're thank switching you. Gears now to the Sword of Soros. No. Our friend, Democrat strategist Ted Trimpa. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Dad. How you doing?
Hey there. Good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, too.
Are you in New York?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
I thought you did this time so you could see the lights.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
It's darker than in
Well, it's a couple hours. It's 5:30 there.
Yeah, there's even a tree here.
Pretty. So why don't you on, because we're going to start kind of micro, but I think that there's a broader topic to talk about. So Craig Silverman.
Let him tell the story.
Yeah, you had a Twitter fight with Craig Silverman, a former, he was a 710 KUS host, he's a political commentator, and we'll just kind of leave it there. Do you want to kind of talk about the, because I think it's indicative of sort of a bigger thing, and I'm just going to go with it. And that is, but the left, Ted, and you can help us understand why, have become the party of the Krabby Pants, and they hate everybody. But why don't you, like, you kind of explain the Twitter war?
Well, I think in a broader context, it's okay. When, you know, folks disagree with something and they just see opinions that are just really hard to get their head around. They kind of resort to what I consider to be kind of a little bit, not childish isn't necessarily the appropriate word, but just kind of some biting things, you know, that quite frankly get too far. So the quick story, maybe this is a better way to explain it, is everybody knows that I'm married to a right-wing guy. I call him a crackpot to his face, even though I love him to death and I respect his views. Works at Gutfeld, he's senior producer for a cable TV show that's ranked in the top six of all cable TV shows, beats Colbert, Fallon, you know the drill.
Right.
And he writes for it, and he has biting humor, and he's been writing more and more for them. And Craig sent out a tweet basically saying, well, you know, employment is good, but when, you know, a show is spewing anti-GBLT hate and spreading racism, you know, at what cost, you know, where is your morality? And it just pushed me one step too far. It's like, first of all, one, you know, guy, you don't even know him. So to say that you know whether he has integrity or whether he's anti-gay or whether he's racist, it's kind of hard to say, because you've never heard him talk, you've never seen his writing, you've never sat down with him, and he's been with me for over 10 years, and the last thing I would check is, oh, I'm going to be married to an anti-gay, homophobic racist.
Or he would be married to you. I mean, yeah.
That's what I was looking for in the perfect ideal partner. Is, you know, please be somebody who represents all the values that I've worked.
Right. And carries a gun. Know.
Yeah, and carries a gun. Well, and that would took me a long time to get used to. But anyway, I just responded to it. I'm like, you know, this is, you know, I don't appreciate you implying all these things about him when you don't even know him. And then I said, you know, and by the way, you're better than this. You know, people are. And it's like, let the better, and bluntly, I'm saying these words on purpose, let the better angels come out.
Right.
Just because
he doesn't have many of those left these days.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we can have differing views on trans, and Arash and I have just, you know, black and white in terms of different views on it. But I'm going to respect where he's coming from. I'm going to, you know, virulently disagree with it. It's much like, you know, one of my best friends, Jim Daly, had a Focus on the Family. We just disagree about it, just disagree. Right. And I think, you know, their views and how they talk about it's going to cause a lot of harm. But, you know, that's just part of what this system is. And we're just, you know, we work through it. We work through the problems. We talk about it. I think if we had a little bit of love and a lot more respect, there's a lot more that we could get done. Because just because you're a right winger, just because you're a left winger, doesn't necessarily make you inherent.
Well, unfortunately for Craig, he's you know, he's gone from being what he thought would be a national figure. You know, he's on crime TV. He's on a lot of things. And eventually he alienated everyone at 710 KNUS. He had a good, great partner in Dan Kaplis, alienated him. He's attacking him all the time. He attacks, oh, Peter Boyles all the time. He's always critiquing his show. It's called it 710 Trump Hate, and hating Trump, or Hemp Trade Trump Hate.
And Peter hates Trump anyway.
Yeah, well, so. In fact, all the people there except for Andy Corp are anti-Trump. But it doesn't matter. It's just his vitriol, and I feel sorry for him. It's a sad, no, the it's, fact it's, that he's
it's,
down
it's, to... It's a difficult situation where it's clear that you're jealous of someone else's success.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
So part of how you respond to that is you say something, you know, and to Craig's credit, he did come back and say, okay, yeah, I don't know him.
Right.
You know, didn't say apologize.
No, I didn't. He said, I don't know him.
Well, comments went on to blame Greg Gutfeld and Rosh and me and Joe, I mean, and, you know, for you know, any shooting that's occurred in the country too, and which I think is a danger. But let me, because I don't want to turn this into bashing people or another, except for the
left. No. Well, let's take another example. We'll spread this to other shows, because I think this is what we're trying to say, and I'll add this one in. And there actually have been articles about this. The senior executive producer for Tucker Carlson is gay as a goose. Married, they have houses, you know, they've been together for a very long time. And okay, you know, does that make Tucker Carlson anti-gay? I mean, has Tucker said some things that is just beyond offensive to me? Yes. But you know what? There's free speech. He has a TV show. It's really highly rated. People are watching it. You know, and this guy works for him as a senior producer, has been for quite some time. So just to assume that you're working with shows or for shows that are saying things you don't necessarily like and things that are very controversial at the time.
Right.
You know, you can pick about some really controversials that we have today, immigration, trans, economy, even the economy, inflation aren't as big of a thing as crime or as immigration or something like transgender rights. And so, you know, it is what it is. And so let's, you know, as Arash said in his tweet, I think yesterday, and that is, you know, why can't we just all get along?
Right. Well, and I would say too, and I said this after we got fired, I'm like, really, while some of these things we disagree with vehemently, I think when you get right down to it, probably all of us agree on a lot more things than we disagree on, right? Pretty much everybody I know likes puppies, right? Maybe not cats, but puppies. Yeah, you know, I mean, people love their families. I mean, you know, people like presents. I you know, there's so much. I know these are silly little things, but I mean,
I spend more time talking with and being around true conservatives than I do true liberals. And that just happens to be because some of my social circles and how things have evolved over time. And quite frankly, I would rather be around people who disagree with me on some things because it makes life a little bit more interesting. You know, I've said this on your show before. If you want a choir, go to church.
Yeah.
We're saying the same thing, but I think that we're starting to see, at least for me personally, starting to see these experiences. And I'm seeing them more and more since Arash works at Fox and works at a very high rated show and works at a show that has a lot of edge.
Right.
You know, well, and that's I'm not going to sit here and say it's milquetoast because it's not.
Well, and that's the other thing, though, that I wanted to talk to you about. And again, this is going to be my opinion, but I think, you know, Bill Maher has even said this. He's like, what has happened to us? The liberals, we used to be the funny ones. We used to be the edgy ones. He said, now all we do is crab at things. I mean, Greg Gutfeld, I got to admit, is not always my cup of tea either. But the guy, he's a comedian. He's funny. Right. So when Greg Gutfeld and the comments they have on there, they're all that's one of the reasons it's killing it in the ratings is because it's entertaining to watch. And you don't have to agree with them, but it is you have to kind of chuckle at it, even if you disagree with them. And what is going on, do you think, Ted? And or do you see it differently? But it just like seems like you want to say to these people complain about Greg Gutfeld, lighten up for Pete's sakes. He's just
get a life. Get a life. Because first of all, one. When you take a look at the demographics of the polling for Gutfeld's show, almost a third of their viewers are Democrats.
Yeah.
Most of their viewers are unaffiliated.
Right.
Do you think that there are enough old people?
Yeah. Old conservative we can't
people
stay up that late.
Up at 11 p.m. Yeah. That are watching the show that drive the numbers up?
No.
Then you must be handing out cocaine or amphetamines to all the old people. It's a new Medicare program.
Right, right. To boost the ratings. Well, yeah. So why has the left lost? Because they did used to be the funny ones. They used to be
they have all the political humor. They, go back to the 60s and all that. They're all on the left. There's no humor, right? One of the things that always drove me crazy about being on the right was the lack of humor.
Yeah.
Utter lack of humor. Boring. You know, reactive, never inventive, and crabby,
you mean firing line? Yeah, you know, firing line with William Buckley Jr. wasn't exciting and funny? Is he sitting back in his chair? I remember when you take a look at Harvard, where I went to, and Yale, which they wanted me to go to, and Princeton, which is lower school.
Gutfeld was talking about. I mean, he's been going on and it's become a joke in and of itself of that, allegedly trans teacher with the giant fake breasts. And then, the Biden nuclear secrets guy who was trans, who was into dog weird fetish stuff, but was stealing suitcases and wearing other people's clothes. I mean, if you're a comedian, a political comedian,
you make fun of that.
You have to make fun of it.
Why wouldn't you?
Right. Right.
Well, and tell me,
that's part of how you deal with controversial issues is that you use humor to, for example, it's like Dave Chappelle. I don't understand. I really don't. I have watched that Dave Chappelle show at least three times. And I don't take his comments to be anti-trans. If anything, he was trying to joke with them. There were some favorable comments about it. Plus, he's a comedian.
Right.
I mean, part of it is like roasting people. Part of it is, so you mean all those comedians for all those years that were making fun and that now I'm going to say something's going to light the world on fire, but cracked all these jokes about Jews.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, you did that today. The world will come to an end. But let's go back to, George Burns. Let's go back to Milton Berle. Let's think about Mel Brooks. Do you think Blazing Saddles could get made today?
No,
which is ridiculous. No. It's one of the funniest movies of all time. I bet you couldn't do Monty Python today.
No,
bring out the dead. Well, you can't make fun of the dead.
Yeah.
If you're going to sing, you have to be really good at singing.
But
Dave Chappelle had a concert in San Francisco. And in San Francisco, it's 99% progressive. So sold out the show. So he invited Elon Musk up. They were booing away. Goddamn free speech. You can't have that crowd boo. No free
speech. This is the other one. I'm going to certify. I'm a liberal. I'm a good Democrat. I've always been there. For people who don't know, we can sit down, we can talk policy, and you can see that I'm not some closeted little right-wing guy. And that Arash has like slipped something into my drink at night. All of a sudden it's changed my mind. But it's getting to the point of being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can't make fun of something, the fact that everything that we talk about has to be intertwined with what is your ideology and what do you believe and what do you really mean by that? It's like in some ways it's like, and again, I'm not a parent, so I'm using an analogy that I probably shouldn't be able to use since I'm not a parent. But it's in some ways, it's like we're over-parented, you know, yeah. as a society. It's like, oh, but no. You really can't think that. You really should
might be offended.
That.
So, what's going on?
I can't believe that you would have that color of car.
Yeah. What's going on with the left then? I mean, what happened to you guys that you seem to have completely lost your sense of humor, that somebody can't watch a Greg Gutfeld show without, you know, condemning everyone?
Well, I guess my pushback on that is that I wouldn't say we necessarily lost our humor. I think there's great humor that exists out there. I think some of it is over-censored by ourselves. I also think that something has happened that, in my mind, helps explain some of the what Bill Maher is talking about. Okay. And that is liberals, we, you know, make jokes of folks. You know, Jay Leno used to make jokes about whoever was president at the time, no matter who it was, whether... Right. It was, you know, I can't remember when Leno took over the show, but whether we're a Democratic Reagan, president or Republican president, Reagan. They would do that. You know, Trump is, you know, he's like the gift that keeps on giving for comedians.
Sure.
And it's just
but
like,
so is Biden.
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I totally get it. And but with Trump, it was so loaded because a lot of the, you know, remember, actually was on your radio show in July of 15, before I found out I was going to have heart surgery. I remember saying, I said, you know, Trump is either going to fizzle out really quickly or he's going to catch fire because he's going to take out a sledgehammer. And he's not only going to touch all the third rails of politics, he's going to literally bang on them, whether that's around race, whether that's around, you know, all these. And he did.
Right.
You know, and lit all kinds of fires that aren't necessarily healthy, but it provided a lot of fodder for jokes. And because this lit up, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of conservatives are like, hey, finally somebody's speaking to me. You know, and speaking in terms of how I see the world, all of a sudden, a lot of this became really politicized really quickly. And it's really unfortunate because we all need to, that's on the left, and I'm sure there's some folks on the right too, we just need to step back and say, you know, get A and it rhymes with ducking. Life.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. And I mean, and that's a thing. And I think that then it turns into all this weird virtue signaling. Right. And if you don't do the right virtue signaling, all of a sudden that's bad. And so I think it becomes my perception is that it is coming more from the left than the right. That you know, you can't, everybody's afraid to say anything. And then it just takes one person standing up and saying, you know, you're bad for saying that. And then everyone jumps on board. You know,
I guess the pushback in a very friendly way that I would have, Julie, is in, at least from our perception outside looking in, to Republican land, if you say anything negative about Trump, my God, people just pile on to you about it. And so I think there's a little bit of this.
It's both ways. Okay.
On both sides.
I used to listen to Johnny Carson and Jay Leno and some of the other ones that are on the same time as Jay Leno. And it tended to be, at least with Leno and I forget the guy on the other channel. Generally speaking, more left than right, but it was funny and you'd laugh and you'd think
it wasn't overtly political.
It was somewhat political, but it was still hilarious. And so I enjoyed it. I turn on Colbert or something. There's humor there. Oh, okay. Can't wait. Yeah. When's the joke going to come? I mean,
it's a Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, see, I like Colbert, but in response to what's happening in the world, you know, Gutfeld regularly beats Colbert now. Which to me says a lot about what's going on, which is a little troubling. Not troubling in a sense of that I don't like people, but just troubling in a sense in terms of how people think.
Well, you know, and I don't know. I'll push back, pushing back.
Push back.
I don't even think.
Just don't push me out the window.
I won't.
It's a long fall.
In New York is rampant, so you'd probably be robbed when you hit the street. But
before we hit the street,
I would even suspect that the people are watching Greg Gutfeld not so much because of the politics, but just because he's kind of funny. And you don't. I mean, you know, you've got such a. I mean, Kat Timpf, I probably would disagree with her if she were and I would have a conversation about many things, but she's funny, right? And I think that's what I think. I think that people are watching him not because he expresses something they agree with necessarily. I think he's just entertaining and funny. And I think that's what we need a lot.
Well, I find his guests, including Kat and whoever the former wrestler was, far more entertaining than Greg Gutfeld himself.
I mean, sanity.
Oh, Tyrus and Kat. Tyrus, I can tell you. Kat and Ross have become really good friends. And okay. So when I'm here, we hang out with her.
Really?
She is really funny. She has a book coming out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Here in the next few books. I think HarperCollins is producing it. So
I'm going to bet that publishing. Greg.
That's owned by Myrtle. Okay.
Well, hey.
All right. Well, Ted, hey, listen, we've run
out of time. Great talking to you, and have a great Merry Christmas, and say Raj. Hello for us, and great to
we'll
see
do.
You.
Merry ho ho. That's what I mean. try to get all the happy holidays people happy. You get all the
that's right. That's right.
Happy. So I just say Merry ho ho.
Merry
ho ho. Right. Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
See you later. Thank you. All right. Thank you. And, you know, and again, a Greg Gutfeld. That's great to hear that Arash is doing a lot of the writing there. He's like I said, sometimes his humor is not always mine, right. But it's there. But here, this is from wonderful to see Ted again. Merry Christmas. Hey, want to let everybody, Ted, people love you as always. On Wednesday, we're going to have Brent Hamacek. He writes for he works with Charlie Kirk. And Turning Point USA. So we're going to have him on. And then also Mark Poff. We had Mark Poff on. This is going to be the crime segment a while ago, talking about the Idaho murders.
Yeah, we talked about it. We all thought, well, maybe the guy's in jail already. That's why they seem so incompetent. No, they're just incompetent. They're talking about replacing him. I mean, they're going to send the Boulder PD, the entire Ramsey squad up there to get on it right now.
That's what we're going to be talking about Wednesday. Thank you to Ted and Karen. Love all you guys.
Take care, everybody.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Bye-bye.